You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to the Eco-ish podcast. I'm Tracy Lydiot, founder of Sustainable Living School and your host today. The purpose of Eco-ish podcast is to illuminate the good work towards sustainability that companies are doing, honestly discuss trade-offs they may wrestle with, and to share their interesting stories to help listeners like you make informed choices. Eco-ish podcast honors the imperfect journey towards creating an eco-friendly brand in an unsustainable society. On today's episode of the Eco-ish podcast, we are pleased to introduce listeners to the founder of Bosnal, Krishna Bommaju. Krishna is an environmentalist with a strong desire to reform various forms of waste that are being thrown into the environment, especially the oceans. To address this waste, Krishna came up with a beautiful concept of using palm leaf dinnerware. To accomplish his ideas, he became an eco-entrepreneur and established a palm leaf dinnerware company and named it Bosnal. Within a short span of 2 years, this eco-friendly company has been able to reduce ocean waste by 1.2 to 1.5 million tons every 3 months. And they do this by helping reduce plastic waste that is being discharged into the ocean. Bosnal creates fully biodegradable and compostable plates and bowls, which are made in India from fallen palm leaves. The dinnerware made of palm leaf also creates nutrition after decomposing. And as a result, this decomposed waste can be used for plantation purposes and it enhances the growth of plants. The bamboo look is stylish, but it's also sturdy and supportive for all foods and easy to clean up. And it's a great alternative to disposable plates made out of paper or plastic. And it's something that you can buy with confidence, knowing that you're choosing eco-friendly, sustainable products that are good for you and the planet too. Hi, Krishna. It's so great to have you here with us today. I'm really excited to learn about Bosnal and what you're up to. And I would love to ask you where you're calling in from today.
Thanks for inviting me to this podcast. I'm calling in from Atlanta, Georgia, USA.
Wonderful. And I detect an accent. Would you be willing to share where you're from originally, if it's not Georgia?
I'm born and brought up in India. So it's been my 14 years I'm living in US.
I love it. Thank you so much. I really enjoy learning about where people are from because I think it really forms a better picture of our background and our interests and, you know, the cultural perspectives we bring in, which I know is interwoven into your business. So I'm really looking forward to diving in about this with you. So what I always like to start off with our podcast is asking our guests if you can tell us in your own words, what does your company Bosnal do?
Yeah, Bosnal is an eco-friendly product company. So we usually try to promote eco-friendly products to our consumers and throughout the world. So right now, Bosnal is based on producing fallen palm leaf plates and bowls, and also wooden cutlery, which are good for environment and which are 100% compostable, which doesn't leave any traces of pollution or any damages to the planet.
Oh, wonderful. I am so excited to dive in further. I just love this concept, and palm leaf plates have been something that I saw on the market a while ago. And I'm like really interested to nerd out with you a little bit about how they're made. But before we dive in there, I also really like to start out asking the question, what was the driving factor, or is there a particular inspiration or spark that ignited you to start your business?
Yes. The main driving factor or the change of our lifestyle is because of my older son, who was like 7 years old that time, asked me a question like when we were cleaning up. He was helping me to clean up a after party, like in our house, like a gathering. So he asked me like an innocent question, like, what this trash going to end up? I said, it's going to go into the landfill. And he asked me like, can you do something like it's going to pollute the environment, damages to the earth, and the soil going to be spoiled and everything like that. So that's sparked an idea into us. And we started doing some kind of research, talking to people in our back home country, where like from my older generation, my mom, dad, and something like that, and from the age group. And then the evolution of Bosnil come into picture.
Wow. That's a beautiful story. Thank you so much for sharing that. And I love young minds for that. They don't really have those filters, do they? It could have been a confrontational question, and I really applaud you for listening to him.
He's my proofreader, and he helps me a lot in the routine day life of how the business going.
Oh, does he? So he's a little, a burgeoning eco entrepreneur. How old is your son now?
He's 11 now.
Okay. And what sort of things does he help you with that he enjoys?
When we set up an event at the shows, like vendor events, he takes care of all the talking. I have to be just monitor him doing the talking, and I just need to come in the end of the conversation. If they have the customer have any more questions, so I can able to answer them. So most of the talking part, he will do it. So he knows, to be very honest, he knows a little bit more than me, I guess, because he reads a lot of books and other stuff.
I love him already, and I haven't even met him. How fantastic. Obviously, he's really passionate about it and is helping connect customers with alternatives. I'd like to talk a little bit about how you feel your company is helping customers make those eco-friendly choices. And when we first connected, I thought about how many backyard barbecues or events or birthday parties, like all kinds of different events where we gather a lot of people. And if you're hosting, I know when I'm hosting, like one of the things that I really am not excited to do is dishes. And that I think that's why the culture of disposable plates and cutlery came in, because it's just really fast and easy cleanup. And your son is so right about landfills, because when we bury these things, they don't ever really go away. And so I'd love to just hear more about your ethos and leading into the palm leaf production.
Basically, what happens when you use a plastic or else the paper plates, it has to end up in a landfill. And it's end up like a ton of wastage, and it's will be staying there for a couple of years or more than 100 years. So plastic going to stay 100 of years. So if you look at the worldwide statistics, there were like 2.12 billion tons of trash ends in only in the landfill. We're not talking about the ocean and other places. It's only an average idea. And when you're talking about US itself, it itself contributes 139.6 million tons a year.
Wow.
If you fill them all in a truck, the whole US will be filled. If you fill them in a truck and stand them in on a road, the whole US will be covered.
It's enormous, isn't it? Like it's actually mind-boggling.
And so no, like a normal people, like everybody don't even think about that extent.
That's such a great point, is like lots of times we don't think. I was talking about this with another guest, is like oftentimes when we think about waste, the furthest our mind might go is is my waste, like what day is my trash pickup or is the garbage truck coming? And we don't think about it. And I feel like it might be fun actually to sort of pull apart those two things and have a little discussion about that too. Because I could hear some folks saying like, well, it's paper plates. I know we do a lot of camping in Canada and lots of times the paper plates would be used in the campfire, for example. And like, what's so wrong with that? Versus also the plastic cutlery. And so I'd love to pull those apart a little bit and get your thoughts about the source of those materials and their impacts as well.
When you're talking about the paper, the trees has to cut down to make a paper plate. Am I right? It's 100% right. So when you're talking of plastic, the plastic has to melt down and it has a process where the chemicals are involved in it. So it is a catastrophic disaster when we keep using these kind of products for a very longer time. The difference between the palm leaf plates is that we need not to cut any trees because these leaves are fallen naturally from the tree. So then only it is useful. So there is no tree damage done in the production of palm leaf plates. So it's all natural. So the leaf has to fall on its own. Then only the rural people will collect it and the product what we are getting as a palm leaf plate into come into picture.
Oh, I love
it. So we are achieving a point there where we are not cutting down the trees and also we are not spoiling the environment after the uses of this product.
Yeah, that's a wonderful point. Thank you for sharing that. And for listeners, from a sustainability perspective, when we talk about where we're sourcing materials, I just wanted to share that. I'd like to point out what you're sharing with us is that you are sourcing your materials not from a raw process, which is I'm cutting down a growing tree. You're actually sourcing your materials from what would be considered a waste product. And one of the challenges from a sustainability perspective at a very root cause is that we constantly as a society are drawing too much and too quickly from those raw resources. So using one of your plates actually shifts the pressure off of taking those resources from a raw state and using waste instead, which kudos and bravo to you. It's a wonderful way of substituting where those raw materials come from. And I only bring this up because I feel like some people would have the thought in their mind, like, well, it's no big deal. It's, you know, a tree, it'll grow back. So we do need to think about how fast that takes, how long it takes, and how much we're doing it. And I love the plastic point as well, because I've seen a lot of folks in camping situations where they'll just throw everything in the fire and they don't think about the fact that there's chemicals in those plastics. And when they're burnt, for example, they go back up into the atmosphere where they actually really shouldn't be. And this, I think, also applies to developing nations that might not have the same waste collection systems that more developed countries would and would typically burn their garbage. So yeah, big.
That's what we are doing right now, everybody.
Yeah, big issues. can you tell me about how you actually make those plates? I've been so curious about how the production happens.
Basically, the process starts when a palm leaf shred a couple of leaves every year. And those were almost fallen on the ground. So instead of burying them in the ground or going for waste, the rural people in India or in other countries, they collect those leaves. And we have a small process to make it. We don't have any chemicals, glues used in the process. What they do is they pressure wash with the fresh water.
Okay.
And they do have a heating machine, like a heat press, like your iron press, which is have a form of a mold where it is called as shape of a plate, bowl or something like that. And they usually press that under that small handheld machine. It's not like an electricity consuming machine. So later on, the edges has taken care by trimming the edges to make it like the edges sharp, smoother. And they process that in the form, they keep that plates, the finished plates in for a couple of seconds to 1 or 30 seconds in a microwave where there is any leftover bacteria or anything will die over there. And then it will come to a shrink wrap packing. a lot of people just might think like why they use shrink wrap racking, because this is a naturally formed leaf and we are not using any chemicals or like a glues to make it more attractive or keep it tight, right? So we use a shrink wrap to intact the plates in one place. Like if you're packing like 25 plates, we just use that shrink wrap to pack it properly, and then it goes to a box and then it comes to the customer. So the entire process, there would be less electricity or else less manpower used, and which also generates a livelihood for the rural people.
Okay, wow, thank you for sharing. I've been so curious and you've satisfied a lot of my questions, because one of the things I was wondering about is how do the palm leaves actually stick together? So what I'm hearing you say is there's no chemicals, and that it's purely because you're heating up the fibers with a press and that they just decide to stick together. Is that correct?
Yes, pretty much. If you look at this box, this is our eco-friendly box. Just I'm trying to explain you here.
Yeah.
So I demonstrate a small plate for you.
Sure.
Yeah. A few plates here. So this is one of the plates, actually. So what we do is, once we have a flat leaf, and once you have a fat leaf, we have a small machine that I was talking about. We press that in that, and that we follow the same procedure what I had discussed before, and just make it into a plate. And once these come together, we stack all of them in one place.
Yep.
And just make a tight shrink wrap to it to keep the anything going inside after packing.
Yep. You know, it's interesting. I wonder, a lot of folks, I have two questions. The first one is, have you considered using not a plastic wrap around the plates?
We're still working on that. We never quit on finding an alternative, but that's the only part we use a wrap to make it more secure for the people. And that too, we use very less density of the plastic where it can be recycled easily.
Yes, that's so, it's one of those things that we refer to as trade-offs. And the example that I give is, say you have like a really nutritionally dense snack cookie or a granola bar, and it's made with all organic ingredients, but you can't afford to wrap it as a company in the biodegradable wraps. You have to use the other wraps just to make it competitive on the market. And so what I'm hearing you say is that's a growth area for your company, that you're looking at alternatives, and this is a trade-off that you're wrestling with right now.
And we are still trying to find alternatives and more eco-friendly shrink wraps we can get our hands on so that we can replace it very quickly.
Oh, wonderful. Well, we all know this is an unsustainable world, and that's the exact reason why I decided to do this podcast. So if any listeners out there have biodegradable plastic alternative shrink wrap, get in touch with Krishna. He wants to hear from you. The other question I had was around, I really loved what you said about being in a rural area. And I think it's in any country, it's a challenge to have economic development in rural areas, and typically manufacturing, it can sometimes be a challenge to set up in a rural area. So did you do this on your own? I'm really curious how you had this success with setting this up.
What we did is we visited those places and we found people who are economically facing challenges to have a decent lifestyle. And we work with those people instead of working with big companies who has multi-million dollars in their assets. So we try to provide more revenue and more lifestyle for them, because if they will stop migrating to urban areas where there is already too much population around. So we personally is also working out with some regional charitable trusts and other places where they provide women empowerment, where the women not get to work like as men, because that's not a big factor in our countries like US and Canada, but it would be a factor in some countries.
Yes.
So these most of the work is done by the people.
I love that so much. It just makes my heart sing. Thank you for sharing that. I think it's a really, really important aspect of sustainability, which is the social side of sustainability. And one of the things that we reference all the time is that the social sustainability is like a gas pedal. So for example, if you can't feed yourself or keep your family safe or have a safe place to live and make a decent income, you really don't have the capacity to think about anything else. And when I'm hearing you say that you work with in a rural area, you work with charities that are helping get equitable work for women, all the hair on my body just stands up straight. I'm so excited to hear that. And from a listener's perspective, I feel like that would be so comforting and exciting for them to know that they're supporting that work in the production of your product when they choose to use that instead of a paper plate.
Yeah, that's the good thing about by using this product, you're not only protecting the environment for your future generation and by yourself, and also you are giving independent, like economical freedom for the women who are in this work style, like who are making their livelihood with this work.
It's wonderful. Congratulations on building that layer into your work. It's so important. I'm curious, could we talk also a little bit about the consumer side? So for example, I have a big party. I'm celebrating my birthday. I buy your product. What is your recommendation for getting that product into its biodegradable environment? What do you suggest customers do?
Everybody in US and Canada and other countries mostly have a backyard and where they have an access to the trees. So once you're done using that, just take off the food, even though if it is food on the plates, what you can do is the good advantage of these plates is you don't need a commercial compost bin.
Okay.
So you can just compost in your backyard. If you have a flower garden or a vegetable garden, you can just compost these plates in your backyard, which is 100% safe and which will degrade in the soil in 45 to 60 days based on the weather condition of that location.
Okay, that's
wonderful. And also it gives nutrition to the soil because it's a leaf and it gives nutrition to the soil.
So true. And this is something, a hot buzzword right now in sustainability world is circularity. And I believe that your product demonstrates that so clearly because you're taking a waste product from a tree. You're not hurting the tree. You're collecting the leaves off the ground, putting them through the process to form your plates and sterilize everything. And then what I heard you just say is that the folks at the end of that process, me having a party or a listener using them, can just really just put it in their garden, put it in their compost. And I'm curious, if you live in a city, for example, will those city collections accept them for the composting?
Yes, the city collections accept them because you can do it in a backyard, then the city should not have any problem taking them with you, or else you can just put it in any of your flower bins.
Wonderful. Yeah. And I was just thinking, if you, for example, are in an apartment building and you have a green bin system that takes all your organics, you can just pop it in there is what I'm hearing you say.
Yes. And the good thing about other thing to attract your guest, these plates are uniquely made and the grains, whatever it has come out, it has naturally formed. So if you look at the plates, if you have a set of 25 plates, those 25 plates don't look alike. Every plate has a different texture and different color. Means it's naturally formed on the leaf. So there's no more fighting, like everybody got the same plates. For example, I can show you, if it is okay, I can show you.
Sure.
These are the two plates from the same packet I opened. You see the difference?
Yes, I love it. So for those that are listening only, one of the plates is a creamy white color, and then the other plate has darker stripes through it that are more brown.
Other one.
But they look exactly the same shape. And everyone has a different character. So what you're saying is no one's going to steal my piece of chocolate cake.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what the hot topic when we have guests coming in with the kids, and they will try to figure out who has more grains in their plate and who has less.
Oh, fun. That's a great differentiator. I know folks do that with wine glasses. They put little tags on them. So,
especially with the birthday parties, when the kids are around, I have to just make sure that they get a, each get a different one, so that they can compare after the party. They can discuss how many grains they have, how much wood and texture they have. That's a topic in my house all the time.
Oh, no way. That's a great idea. So you try and weave in the educational component of talking about that as well.
Go to some local schools and try to educate the younger generation about not only palm leaves or other products which are economically and eco-friendly, so that they can start using on a daily basis.
Oh, that's so wonderful. I think education is so important, especially for the young minds. And so it sounds like maybe your son even has the opportunity to engage.
Yeah, so he gets the leads from the school. So he talks to his friends, and that's how the teachers invite us to talk on this topic. So we often go to the schools. But as per the school policy, we cannot record because there were like kids around. So we cannot record that. So I cannot show it around to the audience.
Of course. Well, thank you for sharing that. That's something also that you do, charitable work and education work to help educate young minds about this. I love it. One of the things I noticed in your write-up was the durability of these plates. Is that something that, for example, if a customer doesn't mind reusing these plates, is that a possibility, or is that something that you don't recommend?
We don't. We do recommend it, but if it is the same person using on a dry snack, he can just wipe out with a damp cloth and just reuse it, because these can stay for at least a couple of days.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, but if you're having a big sloppy meal like chili or something that's saucy, probably.
Yes, basically these are made up of leaves, right? So over a period of time, when the liquid interacts with the leaves, so the leaves automatically will slowly try to lose its texture. It doesn't mean that it is not safe, but it is safe, but you may not have the steadiness of the plate.
Right. Which I believe durability, thank you for sharing that. Durability is a fantastic sustainability strategy. We talk a lot about that with, say, thrifting clothing or buying secondhand purses or shoes, like furniture even. A lot of those products have lots of long-term durability in them. So we should try and make those products last as long, which is where my question was coming from. And so really, I think it's up to the listener's tolerance of how they want to do that. And just before we move on, I did want to go back and talk briefly about the uniformity that customers expect, and I feel like are slowly starting to break away from. And a perfect example is your plates, where they're both functional, even though they look different. And I also feel like this is where this comes up a lot with food, and how everything has to be so perfect and uniform, and that's not really nature. So I really want to thank you for bringing that forward and showing us that things can still be useful and functional, even if they have slight color changes or different looks to them.
Yeah, because it gives like a natural wooden texture. So that would be a unique to hosting, using them in your parties or events or on a regular basis. So using a paper plate, you will see it everywhere. When you use a palm leaf plate, that makes you unique, stand out in your party.
That's wonderful, and embraces what nature is, which is not uniform, has so much variety and diversity. It's wonderful. One of the things I would love to ask you, besides the plastic packaging, the shrink wrapping that you're working to find an alternative for, are there any other hurdles or trade-offs that you've had to struggle with as you've developed your business?
Right now, we are facing a lot of visibility. The visibility of the people, awareness among the people. So it's like not a day process, right? It is a continuous effort that we need to bring these kind of eco-friendly products in front of the people. So as a small business owner, as a family business owner, it is a challenging part for us to reach more people.
Right.
Whereas when you compare with the corporate companies, they have their own marketing agencies and a budget to spend to reach it to more people, whereas that you don't need, like, you have 100,000 advertisements of plastic paper and all, right? They're billion-dollar companies. They can spend that kind of money to attract people. like where we are talking about small businesses and family businesses where who want to promote eco-friendly life and also have a conscious of protecting the planet, it's quite challenging for us to reach to the people.
Okay, so I heard visibility is one of the biggest challenges, which is very legitimate and super valid. And I know that a lot of listeners of this podcast have the same values I know that you do and I do, which is I always seek to support local. I always try to support small businesses, especially family run or women run or people from marginalized populations of our general populace. So I love that you've shared that challenge because I also don't think that's only your burden alone to carry that. So thanks for sharing that. And I noticed that you sell on Amazon, and I'm wondering if you can talk a little bit about how that's been for you as a small business and if it's a help or a hindrance to getting more visibility and reach.
Regarding the visibility, it's kind of a help. Based on the economical, like a financial part, it would be a hurdle. Because Amazon is one of the leading e-commerce platforms. So in order to get our visibility, we have to place our product in a way where there would be more visibility. So Amazon, I have nothing about Amazon, I'm just being honest with you. Because their structure of shipping and all logistics, it takes most of the financial part, whatever that we are generating, it takes most of the part to Amazon and Walmart.com. We do have our presence in Walmart.com. So we have to bear that in mind, how we have priced out at those places. So usually we can less price at our store or directly purchase from us. In order to cover their expenses, we have to a little bit on the price point, we have to go up on that one.
Right. So what I'm hearing you say is you probably have distributors and potentially sales reps that have helped you make those placements. And of course, there's a big difference between a retail price point and a wholesale price point. And the trade-off for the wholesale is that you get the distribution, the larger distribution network, say in a Walmart, for example. And that's a big deal.
Yes, and moreover, like in-store availability, we are trying to get into more in-store purchases. Like it's a corporate thing and we have to go through a lot of red tapes to get in our product into the shelf. Like Kroger, Publix, everybody has their own criteria to meet. So we are working towards that to make this product more available to the customer so that we can reduce the cost and get it more available to the people so that they can start using it often.
Wonderful point. I did a little bit of this in the food industry. And when I started sharing about how difficult it is to get through that corporate red tape, and even just not even that it's red tape, but just get through their systems, because every corporation has specifications about how your packaging should look and where the barcode is and what your price point is and what kind of promotions you're going to be involved in. It's a heck of a journey, and it can take up to 24 months in some cases. So I think it's wonderful that you're such a young company and you're already working with a corporation like Walmart. And one of the things that I don't like shying away from is talking about money and talking about making money, because what you're doing is so important, because you're providing an alternative to the market. It's really important that you make money and that you're sustainable and that you can like continue to live and have this as a career. So
when we come up the part of the money, when we are talking, it's not only the companies making the money, it's the majority is goes to the people who are working in the background, like the rural women empowerment. That's what we gonna spend that money on, so that they can have more options.
I love it. You're living your values true to heart. Thank you for what you're doing for the world. I wish everybody thinking about a backyard party or a camping trip would find your product instead. And so this is part of the reason why I'm excited to have you on the podcast and get some more reach out there. So we talked a little bit about challenges, and I'd like to flip the switch and talk about something positive. And what are some wins or things that you're excited about? The first thing I'd like to mention is just congratulations for the amount of waste offset that I shared in your introduction. And beyond that, I'd love to hear what your plans are for the future and what you're excited about.
Yes. When you're talking about the growth, we don't want to grow like a big multi-million company. We just want to have more people aware about the products and start using eco-friendly products. We have like palm leaf plate is one of the starting products we had introduced. We are having plans to introduce sugarcane products made up of sugarcane pulp. And we do have like 5-6 eco-friendly products, which are 100% natural and where the trees are not being damaged. And it also, after compost, it will provide nutrition to the soil. That is the reason we are just working towards. And as a small business, we do have challenges. So the first thing is we started with one product. So as we grow, we're going to introduce more products and more all the eco-friendly products. So in no point of time, we are not thinking adding any other than eco-friendly products under our brand category.
I love it. I love it so much. And it's probably a really interesting and creative journey to expand from your original product and incorporate more. So with the sugarcane, is that also going to be sourced from India, or is that some from a different country?
We do get from different countries, and whichever works for us, we will plan to get that from that country. Where we often, when we go to like a product launch, we personally visit the country. I myself visit the country and talk to the people over there and try to understand there how the things are working. And we don't want to do like multi big companies, just give them an order and you get it on the next day. We just want to change the lives of the people who are living in rural places in those countries. It's not only my country.
Oh, that's fabulous. And something potentially some listeners aren't fully aware of from a supply chain perspective. As your company grows, a lot of times you can get a lot of distance between you and the source of where your materials come from. And I really love that you just shared that that's a way that you operate your business, by going to those places and actually meeting the suppliers. So you continue to live the values that you've shared earlier. So I really love that. Thank you for sharing about the expansion plans, and I'm really looking forward to hearing how that goes for you. Maybe we can book a second podcast and have an update at some point in time and hear how that's all going, if you're interested.
So I just want to point out how the Bosnal name got into the other brand name. Yes. Yeah, Bosnal is mostly a combination of my family names. So it's not like we figured it out from ourselves. It's a combination because we want to have a family business at the same time helping the other families. So we want to incorporate our brand name with our family name so that we can join other families and help them out in the same way.
Oh, that's beautiful. Thank you for taking the time to share that. And I believe that's the true definition of legacy, that as you rise, you're pulling other people along with you. And I believe that's what a true leader does. So congratulations. I really see you and acknowledge you for that. If you could pick up a paintbrush or a magic wand and paint your ideal picture of a future outcome for Bosnal, what would that look like?
I would only imagine if people just come across Bosnal, they should think it's a trustworthy brand who only produce eco-friendly products, not anything else. That's what we are aiming to do.
Awesome.
That's my goal.
That's your goal. Trustworthy and eco-friendly, family-oriented and values-centered.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping to.
So as we wrap up the podcast, I wanted to invite you to share how listeners can connect with you if they're interested in purchasing your product or finding out more information.
The listeners or whoever come across this podcast, they can always check our website. It's on www.bosnal.com. And we do have a Facebook, Instagram, and all other social medias. It's as Bosnal USA. So those are our social media pages. Please do share, subscribe us, and follow us on those pages. You will get latest updates, podcasts, blogs, and the pictures, how we are trying to eradicate plastic out of this world.
Wonderful. Thank you for that. And for listeners, I will also put all of that information in the show notes so you can have easy access to it. Thank you again so much, Krishna. It's been a deep pleasure talking to you.
Inviting us and giving us an opportunity to talk about the stories and often a small business owner who is trying to accomplish something by going into an eco-friendly lifestyle.
Hey, listener, thank you so much for tuning in to this latest episode of Eco-ish Podcast. We're very excited to bring you new content every other Wednesday throughout the year. You can follow along at Instagram at eco.ish.podcast. If you'd like to find out more about the Sustainable Living School, which produces this podcast, you can look at the website sustainableliving.school. You'll find information about courses and a free guide that you can download to learn more about sustainable living and how to get started. The Sustainable Living School is also partnered with Your Healthiest Self on a 5-day free Sustainable Living Made Easy challenge. You can register at any time by going to the website sustainableliving.madeeasychallenge.com. Thank you again, and we hope you'll tune in again soon. Bye for now.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.